In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Will you recant, or will you not?
Since your majesty and your lordships desire a simple reply, unless I am convinced by scripture and by plain reason, and not by popes and councils who have so often contradicted themselves, my conscience is captive to the word of God. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. I cannot, and I will not, recant. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
A familiar scene. Those familiar with the Reformation, on this Reformation Day, we think about these things. So long ago in the 16th century, Luther standing before the Diet of Worms saying, "Here I stand, I can do no other." Now, there's so much more to the Reformation, but many Christians are familiar with the theology of the Reformation via its battle hymn, A Mighty Fortress. Christians all over the place, and since it's been written, have found this hymn to be one that bolsters confidence. Sometimes you'll see a group of Lutherans singing it, and it's almost as though the Reformation pride swells up. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing every time, but A Mighty Fortress is a hymn that is deeply rooted in the imagery and the truths of Holy Scripture, and it speaks well of God's Word and of Jesus Christ, our victor over sin and death. We're going to be studying the battle hymn of the Reformation, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Thanks for tuning us in. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you on this Reformation Day, October the 31st. Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament and director of deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the Lucan Commentary in the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and a book called Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's wonderful to be with you, especially on this day in which we celebrate the Reformation.
It's called the Battle Hymn of the Reformation. I want to talk a little bit later about the militant imagery here, but the image of the fortress, where in Scripture does Luther get this imagery for this hymn, A Mighty Fortress?
Well, this is one of Luther's psalm hymns, and it's based on Psalm 46, which I think was one of his very favorite psalms. And it's interesting, one of the things I think we need to discuss is that Luther never would have perceived this as being written as a kind of a battle hymn, or even something that would have a militant aspect to it. The fact of the matter, he published it as a hymn of comfort. And he saw this as an opportunity for his people at a very particular time. And there's a lot of debate about when it was written, but I think we can make a good guess, and we should talk about that because the context is very important. I mean, in terms of addressing some, you know, churchly and personal issues that Luther was facing when he wrote this hymn. But it is a hymn of comfort and hope in times of trial and conflict. And he did a lot of little, you know, kind of brief outlines of the Psalms. And when he talks about Psalm 46, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And what he sees there is the city of Jerusalem in a state of siege by the kings and the nations, where there's war and conflict, and it is yearning for peace. And you have all these huge rivers and oceans and nations and kingdoms and principalities and estates, and they look huge in comparison to this tiny river that makes glad the city of our God. But in the end, it is that tiny little river that is going to survive, and all those great kingdoms and great rivers and oceans are going to dry up and disappear. And in that sense, what Luther sees in Psalms 46 is what we would call his theology of the cross. And obviously the fortress, the refuge, is Christ himself as the one who stands, you know, there in the city, and he stands there as the suffering Messiah crucified, and that he's the one who is to be seen as the great defender in his suffering and in his weakness. And that when people are suffering and in weakness, they see how this Jesus in Jerusalem in suffering is to be their great comfort and their great hope.
So rather than being this kind of triumphalist, to offer the counter to what you mentioned before, a theology of glory, that we head forth in triumph, bold and proud of our place in the stream of the Reformation, it sounds as though you're saying that this really is a hymn that reads like defeat from beginning to end, and the only victory that we can see in this hymn is Jesus Christ dead and then risen again for our sake.
I think that's very well said. Exactly right. I mean, and it shows you how, no matter how many things are lined up against you, I mean, in Christ, and certainly Luther, I mean, there's nobody who could have testified to this more than Luther in his life. No matter how things are lined up against you, all you need is Christ. That one little word, Christ, can fell the devil. I mean, the word that still shall let remain, it is that simple word of Christ, that creative word that brought the creation into being, that forgives us our sins, you know, that speaks into the darkness of a world that is, in a sense, being, you know, railed against by Satan and his forces. This one little word, this word of Christ, is all that matters.
With only a minute before we play our first stanza of A Mighty Fortress, Dr. Just, speak briefly, if you would, about the context of this hymn's composition. That you said it's so important to understand what Luther was going through and his followers were going through at the time.
Well, the best guess among the scholars is that this was written sometime in the year 1527, 1528, 10 years after the posting of the 95 Theses. And there were a couple things that were happening. There was an outbreak of plague in Wittenberg that affected Luther's household. There was a man by the name of Leonard Kaiser who had been martyred for confessing the evangelical faith. Katie Luther was in a period of her second confinement. He was under a great deal of duress at this time, and there was a lot of pressures, external pressures, as well as external pressures, as well as internal struggles of the soul. And I think he wrote this hymn for himself, for his family, for his church, to give them a glimpse of the reality of Christ's light in what was for him a very dark time.
Here is the first stanza of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now o'ertaken. The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal.
The old evil foe now means death.
The first stanza of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Dr. Jest, I was at a pastor's conference once where to end the conference, I don't know, someone had the bright idea of singing stanza one of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We got to the end of the stanza, and I think it was our good district president who said, "We can't stop singing here. The devil's still winning."
No, exactly. You know, and that's the way to look at this hymn. It's four verses and stanzas, I should say, and stanza one and three are the devil's, and stanzas two and four are Christ. So if you end at one, you know, the devil is winning. No, and you can see here, Luther had such a lively understanding of Satan's presence and Satan's power. And, you know, in this day and age, and I think in postmodernism, this is I think people are believing in the devil again. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've had radio shows on modernism and postmodernism. But growing up, man, I was told not to believe in the devil. Devil didn't exist. And this hymn, for me, as a young person, was always a great comfort on a number of levels. But one was that, hey, it's okay to believe in the devil and sing that Christ overcomes the devil by his presence. And that's, you know, in a way, that's what this fortress is, because the verse that keeps coming over and over and over again, you know, in Psalm 46 is that verse that speaks of the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, and God's in our midst. Christ is here, and he hasn't left. I mean, Christ ascended into heaven, but he also ascended into the sacramental life of the church. And Luther knew that no matter what was happening, no matter what the evil foe was trying to pull, the church was the place where Satan was going to be defeated.
Let's take a break.
That's
right,
where Christ was.
Let's take a break. That's a great place to pick up on the other side of this break. We're studying the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Dr. Arthur Jest is our guest. Where do you find this victory? Where do you find this one who will overcome and subdue the old evil foe? Do you search around in your heart? Do you go thumbing through the pages of the wisest men on earth and their books and their publications? No, you find it where Christ and his word are to be found, in his church. We'll be right back.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues, etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon his word firmly and faithfully. Issues, etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by making an online gift today, issuesetc.org, and click Donate. You can also contribute by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support.
LCMS Inc. canceled this. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Did you know that the leading cause of death in the African American community is not heart disease, it's not cancer, it's not accidents, it is abortion? Hello, this is Day Gardner, director of Black Americans for Life. As you know, February is Black History Month, and Black Americans for Life has many initiatives to assist and educate the black community on the devastating effect that abortion is having on our people. Figures from the U.S. Center for Disease Control state that 14 million African American babies have been lost to abortion since 1973. 14 million black children lost. These children were future doctors, lawyers, teachers, mothers, and fathers. What a terrible loss to our community. Join us. Let your voice be a voice for the unborn and those who cannot speak for themselves. This has been a Perspective on Life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Reformation Day, October the 31st, we're studying with Dr. Arthur Just what's called the Battle Hymn of the Reformation, but perhaps we should call it the Comfort Hymn of the Reformation and of the Christian's life, drawn from Psalm 46, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Before the break, you were talking about finding this conqueror, this champion, over against our foe, Satan, in his church. I'm reminded of I believe it's attributed to Luther, where he says, when we baptize a child, we are making at the same time for this child both a mighty friend in God himself, but also a mighty foe in the devil. Now, children are baptized into the church. Pick up where you left off on this notion of finding this victory over our demonic foe in Christ's church.
Well, you know, it's when you think about the cosmic battle between God and Satan, and you know, a lot of this, Todd, comes from teaching Galatians, which of course was one of Luther's beloved epistles, and his commentary in Galatians is unsurpassed in terms of getting at the heart of what St. Paul was saying there. But you know, this cosmic battle between God and Satan, it's not Satan who declares the war, it's God who does. And so when he baptizes in the church, what he's doing is he's enlisting us as foot soldiers in this battle against Satan. We're on the front line. And that's one of the reasons why Paul in Galatians 3, and I think Luther really picked this up, and he really did in his baptismal rites, that we should put the garment on the child, because that's like the armor. Because as Paul says, you put on Christ himself. So even though we're on the front lines of the cosmic war, we are there, you know, in Christ, and Christ is our warrior leading us along the way. That's what this whole hymn is about. And it is where the word of Christ is proclaimed. It's where God has promised to be for us for the forgiveness of sins. It's where God has promised to tie his forgiveness to in Christ. And that is in the means of grace. That is where his word is preached. That is where the water is applied with the word and the spirit, you know, is what enlists us in this battle. It is where the Holy Supper is being eaten and drunk as we receive body and blood. So this idea of where we take on the devil, we take on the devil where Christ is most present and active for us. And Luther held so firmly to that all the way. I mean, that is why I think he is what he is to many of us, because he was able to see that the place where we wage the war, the place where we're equipped for the war when we go out into the world, you know, and are in a sense by ourselves, not in the body of Christ, that all happens when we gather together as the community of God around word and sacrament.
The second stanza of A Mighty Fortress is Our God. With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss affected. But for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. Stanza 2 of A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest on this Reformation Day. When I'm singing this hymn, we did this last Sunday, Dr. Just, I'm reminded of another, I don't know if it's a hymn or a poem or what it is, remarkable, I heard it once. And it's sung usually at Christmas, at the time of the Incarnation, about how Jesus, this baby, is crying out with infant cries, and the demons are shaking because here is the Lord of hosts beginning to wage battle against Satan and all his foes. Is this in view in this, even this beginning with his incarnation in the second stanza of A Mighty Fortress?
Oh, I think absolutely. In fact, you know, this is a little unrelated, but it's the same idea. You know, I mean, when John the Baptist leaps in the womb of his mother, it's because of the presence of Christ. And it's, you see, all of creation is already acting. I mean, John in the womb is responding to the presence of Christ. When Christ is here, everybody now is, in a sense, captive to the Creator's presence. And I think that's completely in line here. Now, this is the Christological verse, you know, that counters the first verse. And what, you know, what you love about this is the way it builds musically even. I mean, for example, when Contra Resch, our contra here at the seminary, plays this hymn, you know, you've got that kind of running line, ask ye who is this, and then this is where you just pound it down, Jesus Christ it is of Sabbath us Lord, and there's no other God. And then it begins to flow again, but there's that climax, and he really hits that when we sing that, Jesus Christ it is. When he bursts into the scene, when he invades, you know, and I always talk about it as an apocalyptic invasion, meaning it's a revelatory moment. When he invades, he's now on the field. There's that battle imagery. He is there as our warrior. He is there for us, and it happens the moment he's conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Everybody shakes. And you know what happens when he appears to the people who are possessed with demons. They are afraid. Have you come to destroy us, they say. You are the Holy One of God. They know that when he is present, they are finished.
The line here, he holds the field forever, I guess maybe in a more militaristic age where people were familiar with the real threat of perhaps at Luther's time, the Turk, at the doorstep of Western Europe, the notion of an encroaching army that is able to hold the field seems to be one of foreboding. But this is great comfort, as you said, that Christ actually is able to win and occupy the territory permanently. What's the territory that he's occupying for us?
Well, the territory he's occupying is the whole cosmos. I mean, he is the creator, come to his creation to win it back, so to speak, to make it all new. And so, I mean, it's the entire created world that he brought in and made good. He is now making right again because it had fallen into sin. And his, you know, what I think of in this stanza now, I probably shouldn't, is like Lord of the Rings or the new movies of the Narnia, you know, the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. I mean, those battle scenes where you see that it's because, you know, you've got this great warrior in the front of the battle, you know it is a guaranteed victory. There's no way that Satan can defeat him, and therefore there's no way that we can be defeated. And there's the comfort. There's the comfort.
Here is the third stanza of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none, he's judged, the deed is done, one little word can fell him.
Fierce,
to just, with only a minute before we take our break and no more, what is the one little word that confelled the old evil foe?
Well, I think it's Christ. I think it's speaking the name Jesus Christ. And I would say that Jesus Christ, as it is summed up in the creed, you know, I mean, it's the name of God. It's the fact that God is with us. He is our fortress and our strength, and that God of Jacob, that is Jesus. He is the one in our midst. He is the one that we have to be still and listen to and know that He is God, and He speaks that word. We speak that word, and where that word is spoken, the devil cannot resist.
Dr. Arthur Jest is our guest on this Reformation Day, the 31st of October. We're studying a Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress. Dr. Arthur Jest is professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the Lucan Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and his new book, Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. When we come back, stanza 4 of A Mighty Fortress is Our God, and before we end our conversation, we'll hear the entire hymn, A Mighty Fortress. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues, Etc. Dr. Arthur Jest is our guest.
Evangelical and Catholic, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Usher's dates, they're just as good as ever.
Answers with Ken Ham, speaker at the highly popular Answers in Genesis conferences around the world.
Archbishop Usher is most famous for giving a date of creation at about 6,000 years ago. Now, Usher's a household name in many circles, and that's because his dates for major historic events of the ancient past eventually appeared in the margins of the King James Version of the Bible, and the date for creation was set at 4004 BC. Now, most people scoff at this date, especially the humanists. They assume that Usher was pretty ignorant. But in reality, he was a respected scholar. Usher was even honored by being buried in Westminster Abbey in London. Just recently, his massive book of history, The Annals of the World, was translated and published into modern English. It's a literary classic. Are you aware that Usher traveled across Europe studying documents that have now been lost, or they're almost inaccessible? Beginning with the death of Nebuchadnezzar as a reliable date, he worked backward to find a reasonable date for the creation. And I think he was very close. I believe Usher's masterpiece is one of the most important history books ever written, and his dates are very accurate because he started with God's Word.
Was there really a Tower of Babel more than 4,000 years ago? We'd love to send you a sample copy of our Answers Worldview magazine, which tackles that very topic. Call us toll-free at 888-89-ANSWERS and ask for your copy of Answers magazine when you offer a donation of any amount, or on the web, answersoffer.org.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Dr. Arthur Jest is our guest. We're studying the Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. We were talking about stanza 3 before, and I wanted to come back to the first line of that stanza. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us. We don't think this way. Even those of us who really do believe, Dr. Jest, in that there is a devil, and you kind of have to take this hymn seriously. We don't hear the devil often in our preaching. We don't hear the devil talked about when we study God's Word. It's almost as though he's left the scene and just isn't entirely relevant. Address that, if you would. Is that a deficiency today?
Oh, I think it's a huge deficiency. And I think what we don't see is that, you know, there are all what, you know, what one scholar calls these superhuman powers that are, in a sense, beyond us. We have so internalized our spirituality, our religion, that we see it all as kind of this internal battle, and we don't realize that there are these forces outside of us, forces, you know, like the devil, you know, like the flesh, you know, even sin itself, even, you know, Paul calls the law a power. You know, these are powers that I mean, and Luther does such a beautiful job of talking about how we can't do this ourselves. We cannot fight these battles. And, you know, if we only realized how powerful Satan is, how present he is, and you know what, I think, you know, in a postmodern world where the supernatural is in play again, and the devil is back, and angels are back, I think you're going to see much more visible manifestations of Satan, because people are going to be more open to seeing those. The devil could stay in hiding because they didn't believe in him, and he worked behind the scenes, and that's why we don't listen for him or hear about him. It is because we didn't really believe he was there. Now he is there. We believe it, and he's going to come out in the open, and you're going to see it. There is a huge, you know, rise in the occult, in satanic worship, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure you talk about this on your show, but it is something that we have to pay attention to, and we need to preach about it more. And we've got all the resources that we could possibly have in the scriptures, and in hymns like this from Luther.
So he says, though devils all the world should fill, as though it's kind of a contrary to fact statement, but it sounds as though, at least based upon what we've been saying here, that devils all the world do fill. We just don't see them, or perhaps don't take them seriously.
Well, that's right. I mean, we act as if they're not there, or we really don't believe it. I know there's times sometimes, you know, you hear somebody preach on the devil and you kind of cringe like, oh my gosh. You know, what are people going to think? But the fact of the matter is, we have got to preach that, because it happens to be true. And I have heard a lot more of it, Todd. In the last 10, 15 years, more and more people are preaching on it, because I think more and more people are recognizing that this is the reality in which we live, and they're very sensitive to it, and I think they see it around them.
I'm put in mind of Luther's prayer, the evening prayer in particular, where he... that he has in the small catechism, where one of the lines is, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe or the wicked foe may have no power over me." It seems to be again another recognition of the unseen part of God's creation, which is very important in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, that is a great example. That shows you how Luther got it in terms of understanding the devil's ongoing daily assault. And he puts it in his morning and evening prayer, because it's exactly right. That is the danger that we face every day, and we don't name it that, but it is, and it is more active than I think we could possibly imagine. Of course, we don't see the angelic activity either, and we don't you know, in a sense, recognize or acknowledge that as well. And I think more and more, we just celebrated St. Michael and All Angels a month ago, and it was great to hear a sermon. I actually heard a great sermon in St. Thomas Cathedral in New York City on angels by the pastor there, Episcopalian Church, and he said, "I believe in angels, and here's what they're up to." And it was great. Here we were in this beautiful church in the middle of New York City, and he's confessing before the congregation his belief in angels, and he talked about the great battle between God's angels and Satan's, you know, evil angels. It is true, and I think that more and more we're going to see people recognizing it and preaching on it.
The fourth and final stanza of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God takes us deep into the theology of the cross, as Dr. Just mentioned before. "The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth." So what are his good gifts in spirit, these good gifts?
I was just going to comment on that, Todd. You know, if you look at how Luther talks about gifts in other places, gifts, of course, are always flowing out of the person of Jesus. Where Jesus is, his bodily presence, there are his gifts. And Luther, in his small catechism, names them. And I've always found these to be, you know, the essence, forgiveness. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, there's also life, Christ's life, his eternal life, and salvation, rescue from our enemies. And they come to us by the Spirit. In that little phrase, you have the whole sacramental life of the church, the real presence of Christ, our forgiveness, you know, our life in Christ, this extraordinary, you know, person to stand up and save us from our enemies. You know, it's just great. And, you know, while I'm on a roll, that Good's famed child and wife, think of the context that I was talking about before, the plague that might have taken his children, his wife in confinement, you know, his fame because of the martyrdom and you know, the loss of everything because of the persecution he was experiencing. I mean, Luther lived that line, and that is at the same musical point where it's Jesus Christ it is, and here it is, good, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone. You still have the gifts. You still have the Spirit. Christ is still with us on the plane. And his kingdom, namely the reign and rule of Christ in the sacramental life of the church, where his victory over Satan is assured in these gifts and Spirit, that kingdom is there forever. It will remain because his word has the power to do what it says.
This is what worries people, Dr. Just, as you well know. The whole thing about the life, the good fame's child and wife, all the things that that are genuine gifts and blessings of God, and we genuinely do fear that these will be taken away, and we fear that sometimes even more than that the good gifts of God in his word and sacraments might be taken away. Address that fear, and with the comfort of this hymn, in the last minute or so before our last break.
Well, I mean, and we're experiencing that right now in our country with the economy. I mean, you can really feel that people are afraid. They're afraid because they've lost something tangible, they think. And, you know, what happens when you lose things like that, or when you lose your health, when you are reduced to depending on not the things that you're used to depending on, the things of this world, even family. You know, I mean, the words of Jesus on this are abundant and really, you know, penetrating in their power. That if you lose those things you normally depend on, you are reduced to having to trust in the one thing needful, the one thing that matters, and that is Christ himself. And I think that you know, we always must look at these times where it appears that we are on the brink of persecution or losing something that we hold dearly, that this is an opportunity for the church. This is an opportunity for pastors and deaconesses to deliver Christ, to deliver the goods, to show people what first things are. And you can see that Luther here can write a hymn like this precisely because he is in such distress and such suffering, precisely because he's about to lose everything that he has and everything that he values. And what he has to do then is focus on the one thing that really is truly valuable, and that is Jesus Christ.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're studying the hymn, A Mighty Fortress. Well, we've walked through all four stanzas. When we come back, some final thoughts on this Reformation hymn from Dr. Arthur Just, and we'll hear the entire hymn. A Mighty Fortress is Our God. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. on this Reformation Day, October the 31st. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Before we round off our conversation, we do want to revisit something Dr. Just mentioned, the kingdom. What is the kingdom that remains ours in spite of all else? And why is this kingdom ultimately Jesus Christ and his victory over sin, death, and the devil itself? We'll be right back. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click On-Demand Audio.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes studying the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, with Dr. Arthur Gest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Gest, one of the things you do at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne is direct the Deaconess Studies program. Quickly tell us about this.
Well, our program of Deaconess Studies is to prepare women to serve in the church by giving them a very rigorous theological training so that they can go out and perform works of mercy, embody Christ's love and mercy in the world by reaching out to people who have needs. The human care needs in our world are enormous and overwhelming, and to, in a sense, be a witness to Christ by bearing in their acts of mercy and charity Him and all that He is and all that He represents in terms of love and mercy. So it is a wonderful opportunity, and there's so many ways in which they can serve. They can serve in a parish. They can serve in institutions like hospitals and nursing homes. They can serve in Lutheran social services. There's so many different ways: counseling, teaching, evangelism. We have opportunities overseas for them. So it's a great way in which the church embodies the gospel in its acts of love.
Folks, you can find out more about the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Before we listen to the entire hymn, I want you to come back to something you mentioned briefly before, and that is the kingdom that remains ours in spite of all that the devil will do for Christ's sake. What is this kingdom? How do I know I have it?
Well, I always say that the kingdom has a king, and that king is Jesus. And I always say that the king is coronated when he is placed on his head a crown of thorns on the cross. And so it is the cross where the kingdom has its beginning and its end. It is where Christ finishes the work, Luther refers to this in the hymn, it's over. The devil is defeated. He's defeated in the cross there. And Jesus reigns from that cross. And he reigns there as the suffering one, to be with us in our sufferings, to comfort us in our trials and tribulations. And that kingdom is present where he is, and he is present in his church. He is present where his word is preached and his sacraments are administered.
So let's listen to the entire hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, on this Reformation Day, October the 31st. Mighty Fortress, sung by the Concordia Seminary Chorus. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Dr. Just, in the few minutes left, someone listening to us right now, they know this spiritual struggle against sin, death, the devil, from within and without. How can that person find comfort in this mighty fortress that is presented to us in this hymn?
When troubles assault us, and they do, and they will, there is only one place to go, and to recognize that Christ is all and Christ is enough. And I would point them back to the source of this hymn, to the very Word of God itself, to Psalm 46, and to remember that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, that God is in our midst, that He is the one who is there when the nations raid, when the kingdoms totter, that the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And then that beautiful verse, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. I would say that what people should do is flee to the place where Christ is, to go where His gifts are, and that is the church, to hear their pastor preach, to remember their baptism, to see God present there in the people of God, and then to go with those very people to the altar to receive the holy body and blood of Christ. That is the fortress of God for us. That is His holy habitation. That is where God is with us. There is our comfort and our strength.
Folks, please consider making a special Reformation gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or by check. Just write us at Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Dr. Arthur Just is Professor of New Testament and Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke, the Lucan Commentary in the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd, and a blessed Reformation to all your listeners and to you and to Jeff. Thank you again for having me.
And thank you. There is really only one comfort that we have in the midst of this world's struggle, faced as we are with this world's prince. And he does not only scowl fiercely, but he does his best. Even defeated, even held in check by the great mercy and protection of God, the devil is still a formidable foe, one that we dare not discount. And in his minions are not only his satanic host, but also he has as his allies against us and against the Christian church, even our own sinful flesh, our sin, death, and the world. We are completely outnumbered. We don't stand a chance. This foe, were he to be permitted to do so, were he not ultimately defeated by our champion Jesus Christ, would overcome us instantly, have his way with us, imprison us permanently, eternally, in despair and in eternal punishment. Everything is on his side. He's got all the cards, and they're all stacked against us. The only comfort we have is one champion who through his life of perfect obedience to God, through his holy incarnation, taking our flesh on himself, through his suffering on our behalf, his death for us, and his resurrection for us, has in one fell swoop on behalf of all mankind turned the entire battle and won the victory over sin, over death, over the devil, himself. And although we still remain completely outnumbered, we have one who stands by our side, the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. He is our fortress and our strength. I'm Todd Wilkin. A blessed Reformation Day to you. Talk to you again Monday on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.